Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I've looked forward to coming and being with you for some time now. And some things, of course, as they have many other things, gotten us gotten in the way of our being together. And I'm just glad that the time has come. And I want to thank you for letting me share with you today and providing this opportunity in this worship. We are one, and God speaks in His Word about the universal body of Christ, Christians everywhere serving Him and being together in spirit. And I'm glad for the opportunity to sing these wonderful songs. They fit very well with our theme for this week, Knowing God and Knowing His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to be working on that as we go. I want to thank you also for giving me the opportunity yesterday to work with your young people. You have such a blessing here in such wonderful young people that will be carrying on the work of this church and others as they go other places in the next years that are ahead, and I cherish them. The older I get, the more I care about these young people and their lives and the meaning of their faith. I believe that most of these young people that I met yesterday are centered in faith and family, and that's important. And by family, I mean the family of God as well as their personal families that they enjoy and that are good examples for them, most of them. Well, let's look at the Bible for a few minutes now as we begin our gospel meeting. I remember this passage in John chapter 17, and I hope that you will remember it this week, especially for our studies. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. It's important for us to know God. And that will mean not only knowing about Him, but knowing in relation to Him. And we'll be looking at some of the Bible teaching about those two points, knowing some things about God and knowing some things that will bring us into relationship with Him and that will sustain that relationship with Him. So let me ask you to take your Bible and let's begin in Genesis chapter 8. You may think that's a strange place to begin. If you think that's a strange place to begin, I'll begin here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How about if we begin there? And that'll be our start. But Genesis chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 20 and read a few verses with you that I think are important in our day to some of the issues of the day. Do you have your Bibles? Everybody have a Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let me see your Bible. Good, good. Always bring your Bible. You'll need it when you're here, and I've seen that already in the members of the congregation and the things that we're doing. And it's kind of good for your neighbors just to see that you bring it, because that's a signal of what we do here. Study God's Word and follow God's Word. Genesis 8, verse 20 says, Noah built an ark to the Lord. And he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Now, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. I'd like you to remember that verse while we talk this morning. That last verse, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. This is God talking about the earth that He has created. We're going to talk a lot about God creating our spirits, our souls, and about spiritual life. But this, as we begin in the early part of Genesis, speaks to God and the earth. You know, we live in a troubled world. Trade and commerce are less dependable than they were. Businesses are either yielding little profit or becoming stagnant and going under, some of them. Millions of people are out of work. The costs are rising and the poor are losing heart. And we still in a terrible health pandemic worldwide. And now we read about war, Russia, the Ukraine. When the pundits are asked if signs of returning to normalcy are on the horizon, they offer no real hope near at hand. And while all that is going on, the weather and the atmosphere of the earth are preeminent concerns among many world leaders, of citizens of many nations, and even among believers in God. I'd like to say something about that. I'm not a scientist. I know that the Lord told Adam and Eve to dress and to keep the garden. Thus, we should take care of our environment as best we can. That said, I'm not an authority on whether or to what degree man's activities affect the climate on the earth. And further, I don't know if what one or a few of the world leaders decide to do will actually change the atmosphere of the earth by enacting some new consumer laws or prohibitive regulations. I don't know all that. But here's what I know. I know this, that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, shall not cease. That's what God says about this. Well, let's look first at the text in which this occurs, this statement. It takes us back to the great flood, doesn't it? The waters have abated and the earth is dried up so that Noah can safely come out of the ark. And God makes a covenant with mankind. And his covenant contains two sets of promises. The first, in verse 21 of our reading a minute ago, says, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Now that's the first thing in the covenant. The second thing is what we have just read and that's on your screen. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. In other words, the order of earth sustaining itself will be controlled, and the seasons will continue. God will see to that, he says. And God went on to give a perpetual sign of this covenant. It's a rainbow. Does it make you a little angry that the rainbow has become the symbol of something else than a promise of God? That infuriates me that that would be that kind of symbol. But I want you to notice this morning that not only does God say, I won't cause a universal flood to destroy the earth again and all mankind like I did before, but he also promises in this covenant with Noah, and we don't talk about this part very much, while the earth remains. They say if you repeat it long enough, it'll be remembered. So I'm trying to be a good teacher this morning. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Now I want to ask you a question. What part does man have in that? How does man control that? Is man supposed to control that? Or will God control that? Of course, it was God who promised to oversee and control and maintain the earth after he made it. That was unconditional as far as man was concerned. And the Bible teaches this. Now, I want you to listen in the book of Hebrews. You want to turn quickly? Chapter 1, verse 3, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Notice as you go on down to verse 3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's what the scripture says. And in Colossians 1 at verse 17, by him, and that is by Christ, who is the supreme one in this great chapter, by him all things consist. That means he's holding together all that he made. But what prompted God to make that promise, do you think? in the days of Noah. The Bible says God thought this in his heart, in his own heart. He thought these things, that he would let man know about his control of the earth. Perhaps many things are meant by God's promise, but the verses that precede these promises remember that God brought the flood on man because of his habitual and his universal sin. We've had comments made already, rightly so, about God's doing things in the earth and the earth coming under penalty because of man's sins. But verse 20 of our text says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma." That's much like our prayer this morning, asking God to accept our worship and to receive our giving back to him from ourselves, from our hearts, from our devotion to him. You see, the sacrifice of Noah seems to be the major tipping point, we might say. Faith in God, obedience to God, sacrifice to God. That seems to be, from this one man who was devoted to God, the tipping point for God to say, "I won't destroy it again. And I'll take care of it. I'll control it. I'll deal with it." Interesting, isn't it? Now, second, let's notice carefully before we go on to see some of the implications of this, that there's a subtle warning in this text. I think an important warning that we ought to note. And it's in a short phrase that says, "while the earth remains." Do you see that? "While the earth remains," verse 22, "seed time and harvest," and so on. To say that implies that the earth will not always remain, doesn't it? There will be an end to this earth. As surely as we have this world today, at some point, God's going to bring an end to it. At some point, we will not have it. The balanced ecology of the earth has existed for centuries under God's care. Now, we'll see in a few minutes, there have been changes, some changes. But the ecology of the earth, the balance of nature, has continued. Remember, however, that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man Christ Jesus. And we are told that the things which are seen are temporal. Do you remember these verses? "The elements will melt with fervent heat." Do you remember that one from Peter? "This world will pass away. Believers in the testimony of God Look for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, therefore, we are not dismayed. We know that God will care for the earth as long as it is. And we know that it won't always be. Now, the exact time when the earth shall no longer remain is not told. Men have been setting dates for many years. And apparently that has gone outside the religions. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, have set dates. The others of different kinds, the Adventists, have set dates through the years. It seems to have gone out. One high-ranking government official recently said that 2030 is a drop-dead time for us to save the world in its well-being from environmental destruction. And he's not the only one that's making those kinds of predictions. The uncertainty of the end of all things seems to be, as you read the scriptures, intended by God to keep us continually on watch, on guard for our souls. We're to remain in expectation of the Lord's coming. And we're never to dream that we can reckon on a certain length of time that we will live on the earth or that the world will end. The Bible doesn't teach us that, does it? So let's keep that warning in mind that God puts into his covenant promise that he makes here. What we want to concentrate on, it seems to me, as God's children, as believers in God, as believers in what God says and what he says about our world, and what promises he has made with regard to the world, as well as God's promises that he's made toward us spiritually, is that God has always kept his promises. He kept his promises to Noah, and he's kept his promises concerning the world. While the earth remains, and it's been centuries now, that man has been created, that God created man in a day. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, shall not cease. God made the world like he liked it, like he had it in his mind. He spoke and it happened because he had designed it. Now we have times when cold, for example, has threatened existence in certain places. But heat then usually adjusts, doesn't it? And there have been times when it seemed heat would burn us up, like in North Alabama this last week. But winter has come, hasn't it? See, God kept his promises. Seed time and harvest have had some bad years. But they've come in their order. Day and night has continued on a regular basis as God set them in order. Since the Bible was written, since the Bible fathers lived and died, the earth has continued as it was. And there have been some local floods, haven't there? But they're local. They haven't done what God said wouldn't happen. And why is that? I believe it's because God's in control and because God keeps his promises. And he does what he says. You don't doubt the rising of the sun tomorrow unless the Lord comes and brings an end to the earth. And you don't doubt that summer will follow winter, do you? Charles Spurgeon was a denominational preacher in England, known widely and still known, though he lived in the 1880s and preached in London. He said, "When the sun goes down at night, not even a little child fears that God has blown out the sun and that the great candle God put in the skies will never be lighted again." I like that because it's true. Let's go back to that passage in Hebrews chapter 1 for a minute. God, who at various times in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's saying you need to concentrate on what Jesus Christ has said. And you need to listen to the Son of God, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and listen now, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Upholding all things. We are told in the scriptures that Christ created, actually brought into existence all things of God. And not only did he make them, he keeps them. He takes care of them. He upholds them by the word of his power. You see, you and I could never do anything to change the orbit of the earth, the distance between the earth and the sun. And what do we think when we listen to the news? 100 human senators and a president think they can do to bring in the springtime or hasten the winter. Who upholds all things? By the word of his power. That's God. It's God the Son in Hebrews chapter 1. So when it seems that things are out of your control and you're in a condition that you can by no means help yourself, we shouldn't doubt that God can achieve His purposes and fulfill His promises, and that He will. You see, men and women go very wrong playing God. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's God who governs the universe, and the earth is just a dot in the universe. Well, that brings us to our final point, and that is that we must, as His people, trust Him. Trust His promises, and His promises in all things. Joseph was taught that lesson, wasn't he, way back down in Egypt? Elijah was taught that on Mount Carmel. Jesus assured it on Golgotha. So this is God's promise. And His providence. And it's evidenced by everything around us. It establishes that all His promises are true. Do you think we should then believe all of God's promises? If we can look at the world and its balanced nature today and know that it's been that way since that day when God spoke and it was created, should we not believe then that God is watching over us and that He's providing all our needs as He upholds the world? In Philippians 4 at verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I don't know what all is going to happen with the world food supply. And the supply chain is all up in the air, isn't it? But I know God has provided the spiritual food I need. And if I starve on the earth, I'll be taken to eternal glory with God because He promised that He would supply my real needs. What He has promised ought to be a clear vision then for us in the future. Our job on this earth is to act in faith. Our job is to accept His authority, neither turn to the left or the right, add or subtract, do God's will as He taught it in His Word. And I heard a prayer about that this morning that I appreciated very much. If the Lord promises to pardon us and save us by His Son, we should believe that. And we should receive His mercy. He's kept His covenant with the earth. He will keep His covenant with my soul and yours. So Paul said to Timothy, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 and 13. This is a faithful saying. For if he died with him, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Did you hear that? This is a faithful saying. You can depend on it. He cannot deny himself. You can depend on it. God's great laws in the spiritual realm are even more secure, if that's possible, as his laws in the physical, natural realm. So shall we read what the Creator said while he was on the earth in his Sermon on the Mount about all this? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. Dummy, look at the flowers. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Are you worried about the supply line? The chain they talk about on the news every night? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek. Why the Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles are the foreigners, and in this case, they're the foreigners from God. They're not God's people. The Gentiles, the heathen, the pagan, the ones that are not God's people, they worry about those things. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will take care of all the rest. What a blessing. Do you believe in God? We're going to talk about God this week, and tonight we'll talk about his might and his power a little bit. If you now believe in God, and I mean not only believe who God is, but believe what God says in his promises to you, in his commandments to you, in his way of living for you, and you've not come to him until now, won't you come now and obey him while we stand and sing?